Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why must God judge us? God judges us because of sin. What are some of the sins mentioned in the book of Revelation that God said that man will continue to commit? Remember in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, where one third of this world had been destroyed by the six trumpet judgments. At the end of it, those who survived, where one third of humanity would have been destroyed by the end of the sixth judgment, the Bible said that those who survived continued in sin. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. These are the descriptions that are so commonplace today, especially the worship of idols, and we are all so used to it that we do not even get disturbed by it. When we drive by or walk by these places of idolatrous worship, it doesn't bother us anymore. And yet God said that despite what I will do to this earth, where one third of vegetation, fresh air, seawater, fresh water, humanity and intense pain for 5 months, where they can't even find death during that 5 months of gruesome, intense pain, man refuses to repent. And when God revealed to us from chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 and 15 onwards, we can understand the reason why. Because not only would man face and experience the judgment of God, they would continue to be confounded by the evil one. God tells us in chapter 10 how Christians ought to react and respond to the justice of God that will come upon this sin-sick world. Temperate with compassion and mercy, sweet to the taste but bitter to the stomach. And then God will send two witnesses. One of them would be Elijah in Revelation chapter 11, where he will perform many, many great miracles. And despite all the miracles, man refuses to repent. They will be attacked, and the attackers will be killed by them, where fire from heaven will consume them. But they themselves would be killed by Satan, by the Antichrist. And instead, the people would mourn, no, they would rejoice, they would exchange gifts and presents as they have slaughtered these two men of God. And on the third day, God said that they would be raised from the dead. And we know that the ministry will begin at the middle of the Great Tribulation. And it will last for 3.5 years. And so during the tail end of what these two witnesses would do with many miracles, there will also be many counterfeits. And this is revealed to us from chapter 12 onwards, where God revealed to us how Satan would look at this world. It is a battleground. It may appear like a playground to us because of the glitter and glamour of this world, with all the bright lights and all the comforts, the attractions of this world. It appears as if it is a playground. It's so decorative and so beautiful and attractive. And yet God said, this is how I want you to look at this world, because this is how Satan looked at this world. It is a battleground for the souls of men, women and children. For he delights to have as many company with him as possible when he will be sent to the lake of fire. That's chapter 12. And chapter 13 reveals to us how he will have two assistants, the Antichrist and the false prophet. One is grotesque, fierce, powerful, whereas the other one appears with two lamb's horns. Mild-mannered, but the words the Bible said are just as deadly, for he speaks as a dragon. Just as poisonous, but the tone will be very soft, very soothing, very convincing, but the words are just as poisonous and deadly like the Antichrist. And then chapter 14 speaks of the judgment that God will send upon the end time system with a capital city known as Babylon. And chapter 15, God summarized his final vile judgments as the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And what we have here in chapter 16 would be the elaboration and the expansion of what God said in chapter 15, verse 1. It is filled up the judgment and the wrath of God. Do not take sin lightly. For what we are going to read in chapter 16 is simply because of the sin of this world. In God's perspective, it is now full. When the sins of the world is not full, judgment will be held back. God's time of grace, His mercy, His compassion will be bestowed upon sinful men. Give them more time through the testimony and the witnesses of God's people, that sinful men may repent, turn from their wicked ways, turn from the lust of the eyes, where they continue to accumulate more and more evil carnal things. Lust of the flesh, commit more sins of immorality. Stop it. No more fornication. No more adultery. No more homosexuality. And then the pride of life, power, sin, pride. But man will not listen. Man will continue to abound more and more, no matter how God would give man every opportunity, every avenue, with the two witnesses judging the world only with one third of his wrath, giving two thirds of man to exist. And yet, despite the difficult situation with two thirds of this world resources still used by mankind, man can still survive. And yet, instead of looking into their own lives and repent of their sins, the Bible says they refuse to repent of their sin. And God says, enough is enough. The time of the final judgment of God is now. And that's what we read in chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels. Now, at this point in time, remember, the temple, the Bible says in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 15, no man is allowed to enter into this temple, this heavenly temple that is in heaven, that will descend from heaven onto the earth at the beginning of the millennium. No one is allowed to enter because the temple had always been representing the mercy and the grace of God. But at this point in time, it is no more the grace and mercy of God that will emanate from the temple, but the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And so no one is allowed to enter. And the Bible tells us the great voice that come out from this temple saying to the seven angels, which held in their hands the vial, the bowls of the fullness of the wrath of God. And they are told to go your ways and pour out the vial. Now the word pour is not to take it and then slowly pour it out. It is to take it and to splash it onto sinful men. That's the significance of this word, pour out. Take it in your hands, all these seven angels. And by the command of God, one by one, they were to pour it out upon the earth whose sins, from God's perspective, are now full. And the first vow, the judgment says, the judgment of God says, is pain upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worship his image. The image that was able to speak, mouth that is able to speak for the first time. Poured out this vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. This would be painful, foul-smelling, tormenting ulcers that will burst forth onto the skin and the body of these men, women, and children who would have the mark of the beast and not the mark of God on them. Intense pain again. This time it will be permanent. It will lead to only one conclusion, that is death. No more one third. It will be upon the whole earth without exception. Every individual with the mark of the beast will have these ulcers, these sores erupting from their bodies. No exception, except those who have the seal of God, those who were believers, who did not bow to the beast, who did not have the mark of the beast. They would be spared. That's the beginning. Excruciating, unending, foul-smelling pain. Second angel, verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men. What is the color and texture of the blood of dead men? Now, it is not like, or this is not the blood of dead men, it is as the blood of dead men. Dead men's blood is dark, it is not bright red, it is deep, dark red. It is coagulated, it is thick, and it is smelly. Very foul smelling. First, you will have this sauce, foul smelling sauce emanating from the sinful men. And then you will now have all the oceans, 2/3 of this world, covered by seas. All of it, no more 1/3, all of it in totality will be turned into some kind of dark, red, thick liquid, like the blood of dead men. And every living soul in the sea would be killed. So it will stink, it will smell. The whole world will be one gigantic, smelly globe. No more fresh air, no more nice smelling air. Everything will smell. It is as if God is telling us, that's exactly what sinners are in the eyes of God. Foul smelling to God. Do not treat sin lightly. Please, the holier you get, the closer you draw to God, the more conscious you would be to sin. The further you are from God, the less sensitive and conscious you are to the sins in your life. And now God is revealing to us how He views sin. It is foul smelling, and you sinners have this smelly sauce on your body, which is representative of the sin that is in your life. It is hurting you. It is smelly. It is disgusting. And because of what you have done, this whole world is now full of this foul-smelling, dark red liquid, thick liquid, like dead man's blood. And all the creatures in the world has died because of the sin of mankind. This is what sinful man had done to this earth, that God once upon a time had given to man to dominate, to rule. And that's exactly what we have done to this world. We have destroyed it because of sin. The third angel splashed upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and this time they became blood, not as blood. So all the fresh water, all the reservoirs, all the oceans, sorry, all the lakes, all the rivers, all the ponds, all of them will now turn into blood. And any living creature in there would also be killed. If you stand on the moon, you look at the earth, you will see this blue marble slowly turning into a red marble, literally. All the fresh water, all the seawater, all will turn into the color of red. Color of blood. Why blood? Why did God punish sinful men? These wicked men with blood. They will smell blood, they will see blood, and they're going to even taste the blood in their nostril and in their mouth. The explanation is given in verse 5, 6, and 7. And I heard the angel of the waters, another angel this time, not these seven angels with the vile judgments. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, describing the eternality of God, that this God whom He worshipped, the one living and true God who we call our Heavenly Father, He makes no mistake. This speaks of the eternality of God. That means God was there from the beginning of time. God is there right now, and God will be there in the future. God knew exactly what He is doing right now. And the angel is now promoting God, making sure that sinful man understands that God is dealing with man according to His justice and according to the equity of God's standard. Not over punishment, neither is it under punishment. It is just enough. And that's how God views sin. That is the kind of sin that we have committed against God, which resulted in the destruction of this world. Because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You want the blood of my children. You wanted the blood of my prophets since the beginning of time when the followers of Satan, such as Cain, killed Abel. What did Abel do? He did nothing against Cain to Cain at all. All he did was to obey the commandment of God to offer a blood sacrifice. Cain did not want to. Abel did not sabotage Cain in any way. But Cain took his anger out on Abel and he murdered Abel. You shed the blood of my children throughout the beginning of time, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. You want the blood of my children so much, God said, I'm going to give you blood. I'm going to give you so much blood that you're going to eat, see, smell, and drink blood. That's what verse 6 says. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Just in case any one of us might think that what God is doing is unfair and unjust, we have a testimony from this angelic being declaring to the whole world, that the whole world may hear, the judgment of God is true and it is righteous. We deserve it, in other words. We deserve exactly what we are getting. Look at this world of ours. It is turning into the Sodom and Gomorrah that God says will be what this world would become before my return. The Bible tells us that it will be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? Jesus said to us in Matthew 24 that it will be like the days of Noah, where people are going to marry and will be given in marriage. They're going to be so caught up by the day-to-day activities, by the carnal activities of this world, they're going to be totally oblivious to the impending wrath and judgment that will come. Just as the generation of Noah did not realize, even though Noah preached for more than 100 years to them, you must repent, you must enter into the ark, or else rainwater will fall down from heaven. They have never seen rain before. Because the Bible says there was no rain then. God watered the earth from a mist that will come up from the ground. Never water from the sky onto the ground. It is from the ground upward. And so Noah was preaching to them something that they had never seen before. Nobody listened. Those who constructed the ark, who knew the ark inside out, were left outside the ark when God shut the door. They may know about the ark, but they were not in the ark. There are many who may know about Christianity. They may know about the doctrines of Christ. They may even know about the birth, the resurrection, and they may even pass many theoretical exams. They may even have theological degrees. And yet, they do not know Christ. They are outside of Christ. Just in case any one of us might think that what God is doing is unjust and unfair and unrighteous, the angel warns us, He is just and righteous in giving us intense pain as sinners, refuse to repent after what God had done with all the witnesses. No more fresh water, no more seawater, the whole world is destroyed before the very eyes of men. Just as it was in the days of Noah, destroyed by water. This time it will be by fire, and the details are much, much more intense than what you read in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. This is far more intense and descriptive. Why? Because this will be final, this will be total, this will be complete. Because after this, God will have to recreate the earth all over again the way He did in the days of Noah. It was a new earth. The world that we see today was the world that Noah saw at the end of 1 year and 10 days when he opened the door of the ark. He saw this planet Earth, this new world. The world before the flood was a totally different world. And for us, it is similar. This world will become so devastated. God had to recreate the world before the millennium. And so there will be 75 days of gap from the second coming of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon to the beginning of the millennium. 75 days. 30 days for the cleansing of the temple, where the temple will come down, and 45 days for the recreation and the rest of the other, separation of the sheep and the goat, the punishment, and the whole transformation of the promised land. Dead Sea will be no more Dead Sea. It will be linked to the Mediterranean Sea. And for the first time, the boundary of the nation of Israel will be exactly according to how God promised Abraham in Genesis 15. This will be the boundary of the promised land that I have promised you, where the Son of God and the Son of Man will rule in Jerusalem. Mount of Olives, with a heavenly temple that will descend from heaven. But before that day comes, the punishment, the sin of this world will be so hated by God that God had to destroy this world. Look at this world from God's perspective. Look at sin from God's perspective, with God's eyes. If sin is not so grievous and heinous and so terrible, why do you think God had to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us? If sin would result in man simply being annihilated and disappeared, man did not have to die and to be sent into the lake of fire for all eternity. Why do you think God had to send His only begotten Son to die for us? You think it was an easy thing for God the Father to send the Son? Where during the brief time when the Son was on the cross, there was this brief moment where the Father forsook the Son. Because He loved us because of our sin. Sin's penalty requires every sinner without a Savior to spend eternity in the lake of fire to pay the penalty for each and every one of our own sin. For all eternity. That's the price of sin. That's the payment that God demands from every sinner when they sin against God. Eternity in the lake of fire, intense pain, pain after pain after pain after pain, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If we do not have a Savior, if we do not have an advocate to stand between the judge and us, and because of Christ, we have been spared from this eternal punishment. And what we are reading here is only the temporal punishment on this planet Earth. This is the heinous nature of sin. Do not treat sin lightly, please. Please. Our addictions, the lust of the mind. We are now living in a society that is getting from bad to worse. Singapore used to be a nice place. It's not a nice place any longer. With a new generation, now we have topless dancing in Singapore, which we never had before when we became independent. Sure, initially, but then the government stopped it. I still remember when I was a little boy, they had this kind of evil, but then the government banned it. So anyone who wanted to indulge in such evil, they have to cross the causeway. But now, they have brought it back. Now we're going to have casinos. We are going to encourage all kinds of sexual immoral sin. You'll find this in the movies. Now you can buy uncensored CDs and VCDs and DVDs. Literature, all sorts you find invading into our homes, into the mind, into the heart of our young people and the old alike. We are truly living in a very wicked and immoral society. And because it is so common, we are beginning to get used to it. And God says, don't ever get used to sin. This is what I will do to sinners without the Savior. This is what I'm going to do to the place of sin, the earth where man commits this sin. This earth will be tainted by sin, and therefore this world had to be destroyed. Because of the sins of men and women and children. And so the angel says, God is true, God is righteous when He punishes man with this kind of punishment because we deserve it. Fourth angel, verse 8, poured out His vial upon the sun and power was given unto Him to scorch man with fire. And man was scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God in the process. Literally, when they open the door, when they step out of their home, they literally burn up. The skin would pop up. And instead of crying out to God in humble repentance, they blaspheme God even more. Bearing in mind the Antichrist and the false prophets. bearing in mind Babylon, the city of harlotry, Sodom. Bearing in mind that Jerusalem had been turned into Sodom and Egypt, do not forget that it will become a city of idols. So it will be a world that will be so badly dominated by Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, it is literally littered, covered by idolatry, by wickedness, and by sin. And now God is punishing this world and the sinners that were in this world. After he had tried with the two witnesses, with the angels preaching the gospel, after all these have been done, God said, all right, you do not want grace, you do not want mercy, now let me give you justice. God's justice. And you look at sinful men, continue to blaspheme the name of God which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Verse 9. They refused to repent. They refused to hold on to sin, idolatry, shame, and pain. With the ulcers, with the smell of the ocean, and no more water but only blood to drink. And now, with the sun literally burning them, pain upon pain. How much more could sinful men take? Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed at their tongues for pain. God will now hit at the heart. That is the seat, the capital city, Babylon, will be destroyed, and you read about it in detail in chapter 17 and 18. It will be destroyed by God, and God will attack it by giving it extreme darkness. Full of darkness. And the darkness will cause these people to bite and chew on their tongue. What will happen when you chew on your tongue? They feel that if I have pain in my tongue, it may give me some kind of relief from the rest of the pain in my body, to distract the rest of the pain that plagued their bodies with the ulcers, with the scorching heat of the sun, and then now with the smell of blood around them, and this time with gnawing of their own tongue, you have blood flowing out of their mouth. If you are an artist, you can imagine the kind of picture that will come out from the drawing board. People running amok all over the world, crying out in excruciating pain. Instead of mercy, mercy, they will cry, curse God, curse God. And then God's punishment will intensify, and then now they will bite on their own tongue and blood will flow out of their mouth as they scream and yell out to God. And then the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the river and the water thereof was dried up. With the scorching heat of the sun, every snow-capped mountain, including the North and South Pole, would have lost their coldness. The river Euphrates would definitely be overflowing its bank. And if this water had been turned into blood, God would be literally drying up the blood, removing the blood from this overflowing Euphrates River. That is the barrier between the kings of the East and the kings of the Middle East and the kings of the North and the South. And so there will be a rallying call from the Antichrist, where every kingdom will come together and they are going to congregate in this place called the Valley of Megiddo. With all the armies of the Antichrist, they are going to congregate there and they are going to fight against the Lord one last final time. And the Bible says that with the drying up of the river Euphrates, the kings, plural, of the East. Now, from the Middle East, the kings of the East would be the kings that will come from which countries? India, Pakistan, Indonesia, definitely China. If Singapore is still in existence, Singapore would also be included. If Singapore is still in existence, because of one verse in this chapter, Singapore may cease to exist by then. The other Southeast Asian countries, Malaysia, Thailand, Burma, all these kings will call up their armies, and all of them will supply their armies to the Antichrist, and they're all going to congregate in this place, the Valley of Megiddo, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So this sixth vow judgment is very unusual. It is not going to bring about any more pain, any more punishment. It is as if God is now opening a way, setting a trap, as it were, for sinful men to fall into it. And for the last and final time, sinful men will come together and blaspheme God for the last time. Never again. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So these three evil spirits that will come out of the mouth of Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophets, they're going to do miracles to blind the eyes of these soldiers, the kings of the east, to send their fighting men and women, so that they will all gather together for the battle of that great day of God Almighty. It will be a delusion. And all this time they will be thinking that they are on the side of God, the one living and true God. Don't forget this. The deception of the Antichrist was a copycat of Christ. The false prophet was a copycat of the Holy Spirit. This is the brainwave of Satan. Make these foolish sinners think that they are worshipping and obeying the one living and true God. But in reality, they are doing the will of Satan himself. Study the Bible through and through, and you realize that this has always been his evil scheme. How many times have you read in the Bible false prophets using the term, "Thus saith the Lord"? True prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel will proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." And then you have the false prophets on the other side, "Also thus saith the Lord." Is that not true? All the time throughout history, Satan will copycat and confuse. And the general public who do not know the word of God, who are undiscerning, they are going to be confused, and many of them will fall to the side of the evil one. You look at the world today. The literature of the charismatics. Do you know what they are saying? They are claiming that they are of God. They are claiming that all these who attack them, they are of Satan. So are you saying that the charismatics are not of God? Well, they say that you are satanic. We say that they are not of God. They say that you are not of God. It's happening the same way today, the same tactic. The same tactic he will use in the last days. Who is like unto Jehovah, the psalmist says, of the one living and true God. Remember Revelation 13? Who is like unto the Antichrist? Who is able to stand against the Antichrist? He is boasting omnipotence. And this copycat now will perform it with miracles. And the world would believe. And the world would gather. And they would think that they are fighting against Satan, when in reality they are fighting against the Almighty. Verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." That's the seventh and final vow judgment. Into the air, no more on the earth. This time the vow will be poured into the air. It is not "it is finished." It is done. That means the judgment of God is now sealed. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since man were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city, here refers to Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And you'll read about that in chapter 17 and 18. And every island fell away, including Singapore. It will disappear from the face of this earth. And the mountains were not found. Every mountain will disappear. It's as if every mountain will turn into a volcano. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. One talent would be about 37 kg, 81 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. These are the final moments of our existence, of this earth's existence. Do you believe in what God the Father has said to you? Remember why God gave us prophecy. It is primarily for God's children, so that God's children will live the present life in light of what they would believe the Father would do. You believe that your Heavenly Father is God Almighty? He's not only telling us the future, He's telling us that I'm in control of the future. What I'm telling you will certainly take place as sure as you are in this sanctuary tonight. God says, you better be sure that what I'm describing to you will take place. Now, if we truly believe that this is what's going to happen, don't you think it is most foolish of us to accumulate the wealth of this world, thinking that it will be forever and ever, for all eternity? It will not. Our homes will be gone if Singapore is going to sink into the ocean. Shenton Way will disappear into nothingness. Every skyscraper, every building, including this building, will be gone. There will be no more. This is not the real church, my friends. The real church would be individuals, men, women, and children who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Not this building. People. If this is true, then it is most foolish for us to spend the best years of our lives pursuing after the things of this world, which will fizzle into nothing. It will be burned up by the wrath of God. The only thing that will not be burned up by the wrath of God will be what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be in heaven for all eternity. That the Bible says when God's children dies, their good works will follow them all the way into heaven. Only when we serve the Lord. If you are not a Christian, the only way you can get out of this is to know Christ from your heart. Believe Him from your heart and confess Him with your mouth that He is your Lord, your Savior. That He died for your sins. That's the only way that you can get out of this wrath of God. No other way. Because if you do not have the mark of Christ on you, you're going to have the mark of the beast. And God says, those who have the mark of the beast, this is what will happen to you. That you and I may change this present life. And so if you are a child of God, right smack in the middle of this chapter, God gave us verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. My children, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. This is like a soldier. Every soldier, when they are in the battlefield, when they sleep, they have their garments on. Readiness. If you are caught naked with your pants down, you are a useless soldier. Especially when you are in the battlefield. They all sleep with their clothes on. Keep your garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. If you're a child of God, do not mind the business of this world. You mind the business of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wherever the Lord sends you, be His witness. Warn people about the deception of the Da Vinci Code. Tracts are available outside. Take them and give them out to your friends. Do a good deed. Take a tract. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do the good deed while it is still day, where we can still serve the Lord. And let our life truly reflect what we are doing and saying. That this world is definitely not our home. Our home is in heaven, in the presence of God Almighty. Not this world that is so tainted by the sin of wicked men that God says, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it in such a way that the world had never seen before. And it will come true. You don't believe? Do not mock God. You mock God, you pay the price. The price of those who mock God, those who do not believe in God, you will find God's warning in the book of Peter. This is what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, in closing. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, that is, the Old and the New Testaments. Take the word of God to heart, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the Old Testament, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, that's the New Testament, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were before the beginning of the creation. Is that true? That's not true. That's a lie. All things were not the same from the beginning of time because of the global flood. But the liberals and the modernists have said there is no global flood, there is a local flood. And they are saying that all things have continued from the beginning of creation. That is a lie. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They deliberately want to be ignorant of this truth, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, the world before the great flood, before Noah's time, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, this world, there was the old world, and there is this present world, by the same word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This is a summary of what we have read in Revelation chapter 17, chapter 9, and all the chapters concerning the judgment of God. Final warning. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Do not look at time the way God looks at time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, that is, conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him that hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall into your own steadfastness, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our merciful, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the warning in Holy Scriptures concerning the last of the last days, how the wrath of God will be poured down upon sinners without the Savior. O Lord, may none be found in this century without the Savior in his heart, that we may all know that if we were to see our Lord today, if he were to come today, O Lord, we will all be caught up in the clouds of glory to be with Thee for all eternity. May this be the cry and the experience of every one present here tonight. And with this great honor and privilege of salvation so rich and so free, Thou hast given to us a responsibility and a duty to fulfill the great commission to go out and tell others about the Savior, and to tell them, O Lord, that the days are numbered, where the wrath of God will soon come down upon this sin-sick world. May thy children flee from wickedness and sin and the love of this world, that we may learn daily to love you and to live holy lives for thy glory and for the testimony and the witness of the grace and mercies of God in our lives, that others, when they see us, may glorify our Father who art in heaven. Bless us, O Lord, with the fear of God in our hearts, that we may cease from sin and turn to holiness, godliness, and righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.